last week. We've talked about the covenant of circumcision. But I want to talk about it a little bit more today. The covenant of circumcision. How many don't know what circumcision is? Okay. So we don't have to have a biology class or anything like that, right? We're good. Okay. It's something that we do naturally, often to young boys, right? And it was a covenant that God had established with Israel, and he told Moses that they were to circumcise their children, right? And often about 8 days old that they would circumcise the male children so that they would be separate, that they would be different than the Gentile nations around them. And of course, the word circumcision means to cut away or a removal. They were to be a separated people. They were to demonstrate to the world the God of heaven. And instead of being the conduits through whom God moved, they ended up being what? The sole recipients of God's blessings. And you know, we very quickly as believers will become stagnant in our walk when we just become the sole recipients of God's blessings. Isn't it true that you'll dry up when you stop giving, when you stop loving, when you stop sharing?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
When you stop serving others. How many know our light dawns when we do for others? Amen. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Well, you've got to first do unto others.
Yes.
We've got to start doing unto others, doing for others, blessing others, praying for others, giving to others, serving others, and not just becoming recipients of others' blessings either. Some people are very good at just constantly looking for a handout. There's a time when you need something that's different. But how many know that even welfare was not to be a continual source of income? It was a safety net until you could get a job and get moving again. It's not a way of life. We are to work. We are to serve the world in the sense of the people of the world, not the system of the world. We are to give, and it shall be given unto us. Now, Jesus said, once again, that the hour is coming, and now is, everybody say now,
now,
when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now, we're talking about circumcision. Now, circumcision in the natural or in the flesh was a type of what would take place internally in God's people. What was demonstrated, what was revealed by shadow and type in the old was confirmed and it was fulfilled by Christ in the new covenant. Mm-hmm. We're no longer in the old covenant, we're in a new covenant. And the covenant of circumcision was a removal, a separation. It was to point to the fact that the day would come when God would do a work inside of people.
Yes.
Where he would separate you in your heart. There would be a cutting away of the old flesh nature. It would be cut away and it would be discarded. You would be separated from that which was dark and evil unto that which is light and that which is good unto Christ.
Yes.
There needs to be a circumcision in your heart before you are in a place where you can truly worship God in spirit.
Yes. Yeah.
There are people who go through the routine, go through the ritual, they sing the songs, but unless there's a circumcision in their heart, it's not true spiritual worship. It's not even acceptable, except that we be circumcised in our hearts, meaning that which was passing away, that which was dead, that which led to death has been separated from us, cast aside from us. So now we can come before God with a pure heart. Our hearts made pure by the blood of the covenant, the blood of Christ. In circumcision, there is blood. It speaks about the blood of Christ that would sanctify or set apart our hearts to God. Yes. Now, let me say this. Your soul and your body is not evil. That's Gnosticism. Gnosticism has polluted the church for centuries, where they make the soul and the body part of a person evil. What God wants to do is He wants to redeem the entire person. Yes. He does not want you to consider yourself or your body or your soul as something evil. That is heresy. God wants to redeem the entire person. He wants your body, soul, and spirit preserved blameless. And some other time we'll get into that a little bit more. But let me just say this, is that God wants to redeem every part of you.
Amen.
Is it not true that Jesus on the third day rose from the dead bodily?
Yes.
He had a body, a glorified body. Amen. So when a person is born of God's Spirit, they are then circumcised in heart. There's a separation that takes place. Now, just because a separation took place does not mean that your spirit cannot be defiled. Because you can allow things in your life, in your imagination, that will defile your spirit. God wants your spirit, mind, and body to be pure. That's why in the flesh, in the outward part of us, we are to keep ourselves pure as well. Why? Because sexual sin affects every part of a man and a woman. Body, soul, and spirit. How many have realized that? It actually will mess you up. Emotionally, in so many ways. Because sin cannot be present in God's presence, because He is holy, what Christ did is He brought in a separation, if you will, from that which was evil. There was a veil over our hearts. There was a darkness over our spirits. We could not know the mind and the heart of God until the light of Christ came in and, amen, regenerated us, made us alive together with Christ. What happened was there was a union in our spirit. We were spiritually born when Christ came to live within us. And it is the blood that makes atonement. It is the blood that covers and shields or protects us from evil. But you and I have a will, and we can still choose to violate our conscience, to violate the Spirit of God's will for our lives by refusing to listen to Him and do what we want to do anyways. And when you do that, you're allowing the enemy to defile your spirit and your soul, and your body often will suffer because of the results of choices we made in our minds. Sometimes sickness is a result of sin. That's for another time. I didn't say it's always the result. We're living in a fallen world and in a body that will perish. But sometimes sin is what causes sickness in our bodies. In Colossians 2:11, in the New Living Translation, it says, "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." This is sometimes where the confusion comes in, because, folks, if you still consider yourself to be a servant of sin, then you will serve sin. If you believe that you are free from sin by the sacrifice of Jesus, by a removal of the sin nature that Christ has accomplished in us at salvation, and we live now according to the rule of the Spirit of life, you have life and peace. You're not bound by sin.
Amen.
Folks, how many have realized that you don't have to be bound by sin? You don't have to serve sin.
Yep. Right,
that's right.
Christ has set you free from it. There's been a circumcision in your heart. Circumcision, folks, is a one-time procedure. It's not a process. It's a one-time procedure. What's happening is now we are being renewed in the spirit of our mind, and the contaminants, the things, the residual things that were left over from the old life have to be purified and washed away. Are you with me? And they're washed away by the renewing of our mind, by receiving the knowledge, the information that the Spirit reveals to us about what God has done for us at the cross.
Yes.
Of what God has accomplished for us all. By revealing to us our true identity as followers of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That we are now citizens of heaven.
Yes.
I'm no longer a citizen of this world system. God has set me free from the law of sin and death. So I don't have to be bound by that anymore. I can walk in freedom. I can walk in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because of the circumcision in my heart. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. Today is that day, folks. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. Oh, that's what God said. What are you going to believe? Do you know why people go to hell? It's because they don't accept God's forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, folks, he said it is finished. He has provided atonement. He's already provided forgiveness for the sins of the world. It's already been done. We come to him and we receive by faith what God has already done for us. And we're forgiven. We're forgiven because we believe God. God wants us to believe what he says.
Yes. Amen.
And when we believe what God says, it changes us. Why? Because the grace of God is released in our lives to give us victory. When I believe, just my own thoughts and my own mind and I follow my own ways, I find that, I'm constantly being defeated. But when I agree and I line up with what God has promised, what God has said in his word, we don't live, amen, by the law. We live by the promises of God, which are freely given to us in Christ Jesus. There's a circumcision that takes place in the heart. Hallelujah. And the devil's constantly trying to offer you back something that God has already set you free from. He wants to make us enemies of God again. Enemies of the cross. By listening to him. But God says, you're free. And even when he healed people, he said, now go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. How many have discovered that worse things come when God cleanses you and frees you, and then you go right back into the hog pen? It's harder the next time around. And folks, when you mess up, the first thing you should do is run to him. Run. Amen. I come running. I come running back to you, Lord. Why? Because there is no other way we can go. There's no other place we can run for refuge. Amen. Except to Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. And so, dear brothers and sisters, Well, verse 18, when sins have been forgiven, there's no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus, because of the circumcision in our hearts. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Now, under the law, there were animal sacrifices, a life for a life. Blood was shed. The blood, amen, would be taken in and sprinkled upon the altar. And throughout the temple had to be cleansed by the blood. But also once a year on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, the high priest would go behind the veil with the blood, amen, for the sins of the people. God, hallelujah, in His mercy, sent Jesus to become not only our high priest, but our sacrificial lamb. That through His blood, hallelujah, we could be forgiven, we could be cleansed, we could be equipped and ready to stand before God and to come with a confidence before Him. How many are confident to come to God today? You see, under the law, we couldn't be cleansed in our conscience, and so people's conscience would still bother them, even though technically they were forgiven. Their conscience wouldn't leave them alone. It was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away, amen, that consciousness of sin. But there's something amazing about the blood of Christ that is able not only to forgive us, but that we can know that we're forgiven. If you don't know you're forgiven, you need to know that. If you don't know you're forgiven, then you need to receive, you need to accept God's forgiveness today. You see, people that miss heaven are those who refuse God's gift, God's love, God's offer of pardon. Christ came to the world to be a sacrifice, we know that, for our sins. Now, in Leviticus chapter 16, it says the priest was to lay both hands upon the goat, the sacrifice, and symbolically transfer the sins of the people into this goat. One, there was two goats. One would be sacrificed. Its blood would be collected, amen, for the cleansing of the temple and for the covering of the people's sins. But then the other goat was called the scapegoat. And the scapegoat, the priest would then lay both hands upon the head of the animal and symbolically transfer the sins of the people onto the goat. And then an individual would be chosen to take the sacrifice, if you will, and the scapegoat, and release the scapegoat into the desert or into the wilderness to never be seen again. You see, that is who Jesus became for us, folks. He became the scapegoat. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's where that comes from. And people talk about you were the scapegoat. No, Jesus became our scapegoat. He's the one that God put the sins of the world upon on the cross. Yes. The sins of the world were transferred onto Jesus' body on the tree. Amen. And Jesus took them away. They've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more, says the Lord. Amen. That's what Jesus did.
Thank you, Lord.
What are we going to believe? What are we going to receive? Are we going to keep ourselves in the place of Savior? Are we going to say, Jesus, I give it all to You. I lay my body down. I lay my life down before You. And I come to You to receive forgiveness, to receive pardon. Because only Christ can set your spirit and soul and mind free.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All the good works that we do can never deal with a problem with our conscience, folks. It can never deal with a problem of shame. It can never deal with the problem of guilt that so many people are carrying. Even believers are walking around in shame and guilt over past things and wrongs that they've done. Do you realize that Jesus has already taken care of it for you? Do you realize that you just need to come and receive what God is offering to you today, that you can be free from that and you don't have to live it anymore? It's already been dealt with. Hallelujah. They've already been cast into the sea. We've got to, by faith, receive what God has done. And you can walk away brand new. You can walk away clean. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. He who knew no sin, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Are there any righteous in here today?
Yes.
I'm righteous because of His righteousness. Amen.
Yes.
I'm forgiven because of His mercy.
Yes.
Once you bring your sins to God, folks, listen, you have to release them. You symbolically, folks, what we do is we release them, even as the priest would release or transfer. You give them to Jesus. Jesus has already taken care of it. If you're dealing with sin, if you're dealing with fear, guilt, shame, people, there's many Christians that are fearful of death. We need to believe what God said. What do, folks? We bring our sins before God. We confess them. Amen. We renounce them. And we receive His forgiveness. So since we have a high priest, hallelujah, in the heavens, our Lord Jesus Christ, let us go right into the presence of God with a sincere heart, fully trusting Him. Now, I know there's some of you that are just saying, oh, God, I want to get this off. I want to deal with this stuff right now. I want to get it out of me. God, I want to receive Your forgiveness today. I want to have a shower on the inside today. So right where you're at, right now, I want you to confess those things to God. Jesus has already died for you. The blood has already been shed. The blood is right there in the mercy seat before the Father. In heaven, pleading on your behalf, pleading mercy on your behalf, and say, Lord Jesus, I don't come to You with my own goodness. I don't come to You with my own works. None of that is good enough. Lord, I simply come to You as one who has broken Your law, Lord, broken Your rules. And I'm asking You, God, to please forgive me. Thank You that You have already provided forgiveness. Today, Lord, I receive Your forgiveness. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for living for me. Thank You that I am Your child. Hallelujah. Purge every conscience, Lord, today. Wash away all shame and all guilt. You don't have to carry it anymore. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. See, this was the message of the apostles in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. They said to the people, repent, therefore, and be converted. Folks, there needs to be a circumcision in the heart, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When your heart is clean, when you have received forgiveness, now you can enjoy His fellowship. Now you can enjoy the presence of God. Do you see it? You're experiencing, you're walking in that? We walk in freedom. Do not accept condemnation. In Christ, I am free. In Christ, I've been set free. In Christ, I am forgiven. In Christ, I've been set apart. And And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I live unto Him. I will walk with Him. I will talk with Him. I will enjoy His fellowship. Because once I was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but the veil's been removed, and now I can see.